I entitled my message this week, Happiness. And I want to share with you about happiness. Now, you can see all through scriptures, God talks about happiness. Well, you'll see, well, blessed is this, blessed is that. Really, a good way to translate that blessing is happiness. David discovered the joy, King David, that is, that joy is far deeper than happiness. The joy of the Lord can be felt. The joy of the Lord is our strength. He felt even in the midst of, in spite of one's deepest trouble, happiness is temporary because it's based on eternal circumstances. But joy is lasting because it's based on God's presence with us and in us. As we learn to contemplate the presence, not only will we grow in contentment, but we will discover the deeper joy that is connected to our confidence, God's abiding love for all of us. Well, our scripture text this week is out of Matthew 5. If you remember, I did a series called Hurts, Hang-Ups, and Habits. One of the things that we realize now, happiness is, you know, it's an emotion, and there's nothing wrong with that. But blessings is also something that makes us happy because God blesses those. Anyhow, I said all that to say this. I think maybe one day I'll do that series again. It's a little long, but Hurts, Hang-Ups, and Habits is a way to minister to people without stigmatism of drugs or alcohol or you name it. Anyhow, our scripture text this week is in Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. It's a gift. It's a great gift. Hear God's word, New Living Translation. One day, as the crowds were gathering, Jesus went up the mountainside with his disciples and sat down to teach them. This is what he taught. God blesses those who realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is given to them. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are gentle and lowly, for the whole earth will belong to them. God blesses those who are hungry and thirsty for justice, for they will receive it in full. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. God blesses those who are persecuted because they live for God, for the kingdom of heaven is there. God blesses you when you are mocked and persecuted and lie about because you're my followers. Be happy about it. Be glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted too. Well, may God add his blessings to the reading, the hearing, and the understanding of his holy and precious word. You know, we haven't done this in a while, and I'm talking about happiness and a little holy humor. I found this. Tina left it up on the pulpit, and I thought, wow, these are some pretty neat things. God is like General Electric. He brings good things to life. God is like the United States Post Office. Neither rain nor snow nor sleet or ice will keep him from his appointed destination. And it says over in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 through 18, blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, and her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are always ways of pleasantness, and all of her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who hold her. Those who hold fast are called blessed. Well, may God add his blessings to the reading and the hearing of Proverbs 3, 13 through 18. Because sin, repentance, atonement, these have always been the key words in the Jewish faith and in the Christian faith. You know, in order for us to understand our Christianity, we need to understand our Jewishness. Jesus was Jewish. And in order for Jewish people to have full faith, they need to come to know Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah. Well, I digress. But the definitions of these can vary. The most common definition of Jewish sin is the word het. In Greek, it's harmata, which means sin, or literally in Greek, missing the mark. When one had made a mistake, strayed away from God, or has not treated others well, one takes that as a sign that improvement is needed. Amen? That one needs to learn from one's mistakes and try again and try harder. Repentance is a form of recognition, also in reversal. A turning towards a better path, a turning back to God. When one lives reconciled with self, God, and others, one experiences atonement. Jewish people believe that those who experience repentance gain a higher righteousness than those who had just been good the entire time of their life. Well, you know, like the story of the prodigal son. The idea is not to maintain a steady level of goodness that equals enough, but to strive continually for improvement, to maximize one's potential for goodness and relational connection towards God, towards self, and towards others, and to the world. Jesus said we're in the world, not of the world, so we got to deal with this worldly stuff. But sin, therefore, in the Jewish tradition, is not looked upon with horror that it is in the Christian faith. But sin gives us an opportunity to learn, to grow, to improve, and become better people. All of this, a sense, not just to God's role in forgiving sin, but humankind's behavior, our efforts toward improvement, thereby creating a better world. Now, this doesn't mean that sin, repentance, and atonement only have to do with deeds. Faith without works is dead, you know. But it does mean that deeds matter. The heart must be loyal to God. But this, too, requires a strong human component. In Jesus' time, right behavior was often seen to trump having a right heart. One of Jesus' pet peeves with the Pharisees and their emphasis on regulations and rules and laws and rituals and tradition that had more to do with social and financial obligations and gain rather than true ethical consideration. He noted that often, while the Pharisees accused people of not living up to the code, they had very little compassion emotionally for people in difficult positions. In oppressed circumstances, those that was afflicted with illness or grief, or those widowed or even divorced. Jesus takes the Jewish definition of sin, repentance, and atonement, and redefines them in ways that emphasize God's action, God's provision, God's compassion, and God's presence in our life through the Holy Spirit. It's God front and center, if you would. As you might say, in Jesus' case, his message read, God sees you. The Messiah is here. The kingdom has come to you. In fact, God forgives you, even though you have done nothing to deserve it. Jesus' insertion of salvation story into the mix completely changes the Jewish and even the Christian theology of sin, repentance, and atonement forever. We see this happening already early in Jesus' ministry in what he called the Sermon on the Mount, which I just shared in Matthew 5. In his address to the people, which apparently was very unusual to them, very monumentous, and that Matthew even recorded it in Scripture. He teaches us the set of proverbs that was patterned on one of the Hebrew scriptures in the book of Proverbs, but with a little tiny different twist. Now, this was not a sermon for the wealthy or for the elite in Jerusalem, but a sermon for the reviled and the ignored. Jesus put a unique twist on what it means to be blessed by God. To be blessed in Proverbs meant to be envied, to be fortunate, an inevitable being in a high position, For example, Proverbs 3:13 says, "Blessed is the man or the person who finds skillful and godly wisdom, and the man or the person who gets understanding from God's word and experiences. The one who studies the scriptures well and gains life's wisdom from them is blessed, because they are improving his righteousness, even if he is showing a deference to God." Wow. Compare this now with Jesus' proverb. We call it the Sermon on the Mountain. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, they will be comforted. Blessed those who are meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, and theirs is the kingdom of heaven." There you have it. Hope in Jesus. Not in your behavior, but in the status of your heart and life. Your blessings come from your faith in God's provision. He's provided everything for us. Think about it. Even the air you breathe. You don't think about it. You don't see it. But he's provided it for us in order for us to have physical life. He's given us the Holy Spirit so that we can have spiritual life. What a blessing. You are blessed, not because you need for repentance, but because you bear form no fault of your own sins against you. Wow, that's amazing. Jesus draws from the message of God's provision and providence from Proverbs more than he draws from our need for repentance. Jesus sees those who have been unfairly treated in his time, even as today, and those who need to improve themselves, but as those whose lives will be improved by God due to their affliction. Wow, we all come into this world with the original sin of affliction. Well, now this is a similar message if you go back into the Exodus story, in which God hears and cries of his enslaved people, and he seeks to save them from their plight by leading them into a difficult and a different place, a land of milk and honey. For Jesus, the Messiah, too, will save God's people who cry to God from the margins, as they are innocent sheep. In a sense, Jesus does not change the Jewish concept of sin, but the condition of sin. He focuses on those who have been sinned against and focuses on those who have been sinned and just challenged it, and he turns it to the emphasis and the power of God to see, to save, and be blessed, or elevate them from the bottom up. This is why Jesus, the least shall be first, and the first shall be last. You've heard that story. Jesus wants to let people know that their suffering is not due to the sins they committed, but to the sins enacted upon them. He elevates their spirit and reconciles them to God, as they have done nothing wrong. On the other hand, those who believe they are righteous, as they follow every rule and have no afflictions, are criticized for their selfishness and their uncompassionate, or even their errant hearts. Jesus is seeking to save the lost. And he turns to seeking of wisdom. Wisdom in the Bible indicates God's presence. Wisdom is God. And in the Proverbs, in the receiving of the kingdom and his Sermon on the Mount, in that sermon, God's heart is on display. And he becomes present and active in people's lives. So today, we all got challenges, and we're all sinners saved by grace, amen, if you accept it. We need to ask ourselves in which way Jesus is speaking to you and me. So when God still looks upon those who are suffering through no fault of their own, God speaks compassionately, offering the best of the kingdom to those who have already undergone enough pain and yet continue to bear the kindest and the most loyal of hearts to both God and to others. To those who criticize, judge, and condemn, believing themselves to be righteous, better, or even more worthy than others, God desires a repentant heart, a heart God will always receive with joy and celebration. So as we go through our life, and more importantly, as we go through the days that we live in, I challenge all of us to take a look at our heart, our lives, and our preconception of others and the circumstances of our lives. Because for us, still today, the Messiah has come. Oh, God is near, and God's blessings abound to those with afflicted or even contrite hearts. I always like that Psalm 51 when David said, "Oh Lord, create in me a clean heart." Well, I hope and pray that we can all put our trust in God, our faith in Jesus. For not by our behavior, but by our attitude. Not only our deeds, but in Jesus' salvation do we become finally, truly blessed. It's an invitation. Jesus standing there with open arms, and he said, "Come to me, all who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." It's an invitation for you to have a personal relationship with God through his Son, Jesus Christ. It's a free gift, but you got to accept it. And then the peace that passes all understanding will come to you too. Will you still have trials and tribulation? Oh yeah, Jesus said that you will have trials and tribulation in this life. But fear not, for I have overcome the world. We hang on to the blessed hope and the grace and the love that gives us eternal kingdom as we go from this crazy world into his kingdom. You too can do that if you just say, "Lord, come into my heart and be Lord over it." Well, I'm rambling a little bit today, but thank you for tuning in to the message, and I pray that you have happiness beyond all of your expectations, because Jesus is Lord.